Hi, everyone. It's time for Health Essentials with Dr. Roy Morgan of Jacksonville. Here's Dr. Morgan.
And good morning. This is a beautiful day outside. All right. This is what I want to start off with. Actually, this program is called Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. The phone number here at the station, if you want to call in a little bit later, is going to be 903-589-8507. That's 903-589-8507. I still get a lot of phone calls to the old number, but they've switched it so I have a phone line. Anyway, that's the phone number. Okay, so I'm pretty easily impressed, especially when I come across really, really good high-quality information. But this is one that caught my attention. And I think I read this article maybe two times, just because I wanted to, you know, pour over it and make sure I understood the information. But this is interesting right here. To me, it's very interesting. And the other reason I like it is so simple and so easy. And even if you don't feel like it, this you could do so easily. It's just unbelievable. Okay, let me start the process of sharing this with you. All right. This is an article or a study. It comes from India, but it's about what happens to individuals that are actually not very physically fit. They don't have a great lifestyle. They're not used to really moving their body very much. They're probably pretty sluggish. They don't have a lot of energy. They have every disease you can think of related to diabetes, which is not good. And you know what? If there was one simple way that we could destroy the health of every individual, diabetes is a pretty good way to do that. So what they wanted to find out was what would happen if they gave just a little bit of cinnamon to these people that are in not such good working order. Their cholesterol's too high. They weigh too much. They've got blood pressure issues. I don't mean normal blood pressure or too low. I mean blood pressure that's too high. Did I mention their cholesterol is through the roof? Okay. So we're talking about individuals in the study that are not very physically fit. Okay, this is where it comes from. Endocrinologists from Fortis, DOC. I do not know what that stands for, but it says, this is the name of it actually, I kind of like this. It says, Center of Excellence for Diabetes, Metabolic Diseases and Endocrinology in New Delhi, India. What if they turned that around and said, this is the Institute of Gangrene, or the Centers for Amputations of Limbs Secondary to Diabetes, or this is the Institute for Making perfect glass eyeballs to replace your eye that's dead or you're blind because of complications of diabetes. This is the center for people that can't feel their feet or their hands. Anyway, I'm not trying to make a joke out of that, but I like that. Excellence for diabetes. Okay, here's what they did. For 16 weeks, let's just say that's 4 months and round it off, they were able to easily find 116 rather unhealthy adult subjects. Okay. The test subjects were, number one, overweight. Okay. Number two, they had high glucose levels. That would be as simple as doing a blood test and finding out that your blood sugar is through the roof. Okay. Number three, they all had high blood pressure to be in this. So they were overweight. They were not physically fit. Their glucose levels were high. Their blood pressure levels were high. And their cholesterol levels were high. Or if you say triglycerides and a lipid panel was too high. Got it. That's like about five or six things right there. And then, even though I'm not going to go into it, what are all the complications that you have when you have high blood sugar, you're overweight, you've got high cholesterol, your blood pressure's up, you're asking for kidney failure? That'd be one of them. The other one, you're asking to develop Alzheimer's or dementia. Or if you say it a different way, you're asking to develop a heart attack. maybe develop the right conditions to lead to a heart attack. How about that? Or if you want to get cancer, all these things are a pretty good way. You can only handle so much inflammation for so long. Okay, now this is the part of the study that I actually like. Most studies don't do this, but this is what they did. All of the 116 subjects in the study, they were all given information about healthy food and exercise, which means they gave them strategies that they could implement to improve their life and improve their health. I like that. Quite often, these studies, they just use a nutrient or they use a drug to see what the outcome is. But I like this right here. Give everybody a chance. So they had a placebo group, and in the placebo group, they were also told exactly what they should be eating and what would be a good diet and exercise, making good choices. Okay, so here's the study right here. Half of the subjects, let's just say that was 58. I think that's what half of 116 is. They took two capsules three times a day with each meal. Each capsule contained a half a gram of cinnamon. So if I take 500 milligrams times two, I come up with 1,000 milligrams, or if you want to call it a gram. So that's what they used, all right, in order to be precise. So you're asking, wait a second, how much cinnamon do they take each meal? You mean the people that were overweight, that were tired, they weren't physically fit, they had glucose problems, they took a gram. So if I multiply 1 gram per meal, breakfast, lunch, and supper, that's what they ate. What does that come to? 3 grams a day. And what did the other group do? What did the placebo group do? Well, they didn't give them cinnamon. They gave them a substance that has no health-promoting properties. Okay. Now, if we look at the research on this, they suspect that cinnamon, just maybe, might positively change one's glucose metabolism or glucose levels. And it can do this through several mechanisms. Now, they say that the number one substance that they think is found in cinnamon that might have a health-promoting properties, they're just in the class of phytochemicals called phenols, or if you want to call them a phenolenic compound. Well, guess what they do? These high levels of phenols in cinnamon, they do two or three things, at least what I could uncover. Number one, they tend to inhibit the conversion of starch into glucose. So let's just say, for example, that you have mashed potatoes with gravy, that would be lots of starch. Or if you had a bowl of spaghetti, that would be a lot of starch. I know people, that is their favorite thing to eat for lunch on a Sunday after church, is a big bowl of spaghetti. That's called starch. But it's not so much the starch is the problem, it's what your body does with it. A molecule of starch is like millions of molecules of sugar or glucose that are loosely, you know, magnetically collected together. So when a starch hits your stomach, like, you know, noodles and pasta, lots of bread, lots of rice, mashed potatoes, that sort of thing, it kind of explodes like an atomic bomb, breaking those bonds apart, and it quickly converts into sugar. Could you see how that could be a problem? It's not that you're drinking a Coca-Cola, but there's not really a big difference. So when you eat a big bowl of pasta and spaghetti, you're just flooding your body with a boatload of sugar. So that's one of the things that cinnamon does. It has an enzyme, or it affects the enzymes, that sort of inhibit the conversion of starch into glucose. So what does that mean to me and you? You don't get your body is not flooded with near as much sugar when you take cinnamon. That's a good thing. That really is. Okay, number two. They think that cinnamon does an amazing job at helping to improve how the pancreas itself is able to produce a quality amount of the hormone called insulin. And then on the flip side of the coin, it helps improve insulin sensitivity. Or it improves how insulin, works at what are called the insulin receptor sites of your cells. You know what? That's a pretty good thing. Now, if I can, let me just break down what they found right here. Oh, one more thing. I found this reference from the Journal of Medicinal Plants Research, Volume 5. Pages, I know this is going to sound crazy. The page number is 6067 to 6075. Volume, it comes from November of 2011. There's a chart right here, and all they're doing is they're just trying to measure the total amount of these plant phenols in milligrams. Well, what I was going to say is I'm looking at everything from poppy seed to turmeric, cardamom, fresh red chili peppers, ginger. I love ginger. Fenugreek. Oh, my goodness. Fenugreek is amazing. There's coriander. Doesn't that make you think of manna from the Old Testament? They measure fennel seed, black pepper. There's an herb called star anise. There's curry leaf. They have clove buds. Cloves are like awesome. Everybody should have a small bottle of the essential oil of clove in case you have a dental emergency. It might get you through till you can get to the dentist, I promise you. And then they have cinnamon bark. Well, to make a long story short, cinnamon is off the charts with polyphenols or phenolic compounds. It's just amazing. And you're probably asking, well, Dr. Morgan, what do phenols do in plants? Well, they possess quite the significant health-promoting properties. Like, for example, they act as antioxidants. That means it prevents your body from rusting out. What happens if the lens of your eye starts rusting out? Well, you have cataracts, okay? Phenols also have amazing antimicrobial properties. So if you want to say, is that the same as an antibiotic? It's fine with me if you say that. That means it prevents toxic bacteria and viruses from growing all over the food that you're eating. So when people add clove or they add black pepper or cumin seed or mustard seed, what they're doing is they're preventing infections of the food. Does that make sense? Who wants to eat potato salad that's been sitting out for 12 hours in the hot sun? Not me. Well, I might if they added a bunch of onions and garlic to it, something that would prevent it from becoming worse. Anyway, phenols have this most amazing anti-inflammatory effect. I probably don't spend enough time talking about inflammation, but if you've got health problems, well, you can bet your bottom dollar that inflammation is driving the show. If you're sick and can't get well, you got too much inflammation. If you feel bad, you got too much inflammation. If you have all these health problems and symptoms that just won't resolve, that is because you have too much inflammation. So when I read about things that are anti-inflammatory, especially things that God has made and given to us to consume, all you have to do is just decide, am I willing to put capsules of cinnamon powder into my body? Swallow them with water. Anyway, this comes from the Journal of Medicinal Plants Research, Volume 5. I'm just reading the rest of it. It says, of all the herbs and spices that we use in cooking, cinnamon may in fact be the best source of phenols. Okay, that's a point. All right. They have the chart right here. Remember, this was 16 weeks, and this was done on people that were not in great shape. You know, you just think couch potatoes, that sort of person. All right, here's what happened. Now, you got to remember, and this is what I'm reminding myself of. They had a placebo group, but the placebo group, they did give them specific instructions, as in, we're going to tell you what are the best food choices. Now, I didn't read what they said about that, but you don't have to be a genius to figure it out. They probably said, instead of eating a bowl of frosted mini wheats for breakfast, or Fruit Loop cereal, or Fruity Pebbles with half-percent milk and a glass of Sunny Delight. Could you imagine? Yeah, if you want to ruin your day, do that. That would do it. Maybe you could have, you know, fish for breakfast and a bowl of blueberries. Which one do you think has the greatest capacity to rejuvenate the human body? Which one is going to give you every opportunity to get your body back into good working order? Is it Fruity Pebbles, or would it be salmon with a bowl of blueberries? Well, you already know the answer to that. I mean, don't be ridiculous and say that Fruity Pebbles are the breakfast champions. It's just not, or Wheaties. It's just not the case. Okay. So in this study, what they did was they measured systolic blood pressure. And systolic blood pressure is when you have a blood pressure reading, that's a top number. So I'm looking at the chart. It's almost exactly a 10-point drop. And all they did was they gave them cinnamon. This is compared to the placebo. Now, the placebo group, it looks like their blood pressure dropped by about 4 points on the systolic, maybe about 1 point on the diastolic. But they also, they talked to them about exercise. That's beneficial. You know, any time that you can move your body for more than what you're doing right now, that's a good thing. But the people that took the cinnamon, just 1 gram per meal, that's 3 grams a day of cinnamon, their systolic blood pressure dropped about 10 points. The diastolic, that usually is a pretty good reflector of the health of a person's kidneys. So if your diastolic blood pressure, or that lower number of your blood pressure reading, is, say, 102, folks, that means your kidneys are not doing their job. That also means your kidneys are under great stress. That's one of the reasons why they call hypertension or high blood pressure the silent killer, is because even though you may not feel it in your kidneys, the kidneys just don't give off a lot of information. I mean, they do, but they don't give off pain. But literally, if your blood pressure is too high for too long, you're literally causing severe damage to your kidneys. Please take that seriously if your blood pressure is elevated. So the group of couch potatoes that had diabetes and high blood pressure, their blood pressure lowered by almost 10 points on the systolic and diastolic. So if your blood pressure was, say, 145 over 95, well, after 16 weeks, just with the cinnamon and maybe a little bit better food choices, it would have been 135 over 85. Which one would you prefer? Okay, I know the answer to that. Now, they also looked at the fasting blood glucose. Lo and behold, those that took cinnamon, their blood sugar, their fasting blood sugar dropped. I wouldn't say a lot, but enough to make a difference. Probably the one that changed the most was triglycerides. If you go to your nurse practitioner and they order a lipid panel, well, one of the markers on there is called triglycerides. And triglycerides, basically, they tell you how many... Do you know what the word triglyceride means? Tri refers to the number 3. They're not called biglycerides or monoglycerides. That would be 1, 2. But they're called triglycerides. So that means 3 molecules of glycerol, which is basically sugar, to make fat. That's how fat's made. That's what a triglyceride is. Triglycerides are the only stored form of fat in the human body. So a triglyceride is one of the ways that your body tries to get rid of extra sugar that you can't burn for fuel. You got a metabolism problem. So when triglycerides go up above the number 150, you got problems. I think one of the greatest predictors of someone that's headed toward a stroke is going to be triglycerides above the number 200. So you have to take that seriously. Well, I'm just suggesting that to you in a good, you know, loving, compassionate way. It is in your best interest. But triglyceride levels, they really dropped amazingly well with the people that weren't physically fit, but they took cinnamon. Could you imagine what would happen if they actually ate just meat and vegetables, and if they wanted something sweet, they called that a bowl of strawberries or fruit salad? Oh, that could be amazing. What if they took it just a little bit further and said, I think I'm going to start physically training my body to become more efficient or more athletic, or I'm going to start burning energy more efficiently? Well, that would be called exercise. Or if you want to say doing more gardening or yard work or things like that, that'd be fine too. But the triglycerides, oh my goodness, they dropped significantly when the people took cinnamon. Now, they did not drop in those that were on the placebo. They went up. The next one, there's a marker on the lipid panel besides triglycerides. You know they have total cholesterol. But one of them, and maybe you haven't heard of it before, and this is the first time, sometimes it's just simply called HDL. And that stands for high density lipoprotein. That's a unique lipoprotein that they're trying to measure because they think it can give you some information about the health of your body. Well, when HDL is usually very, very low, like 45 or 40 or 38, that means you have what's called insulin resistance. That means you're headed toward diabetes. One of the articles that I read a long time ago that I think I remember well, they looked at HDL as an independent risk factor for developing cardiovascular disease, or if you want to say arteriosclerosis or atherosclerosis. That basically means the arteries are becoming stiffer and harder, and that ain't what you want. You want them being spry and flexible and bendable and really elastic. Yeah, that's what a healthy artery is, not one that's coated with concrete or calcium deposits. Okay? Well, the high-density lipoprotein, which one is a better number, 60 or 40? Well, I can tell you this from the studies. When your HDL is at 60 as compared to 40, they think that's a really, really good thing because there's like anything else, there's always the Goldilocks just right optimal level of any of these lipoproteins. See, that's a good reason for every doctor to do a lipid panel on everyone that walks in the door. How do you really know unless you measure them or you test them? You want to know how you're doing? One way is to have a blood test. So if your blood test comes back and you're at 62, I'd say, oh my goodness, you're doing a bunch of things right. Way to go. This is another indication you're doing pretty well with your blood sugar. As a general rule, when your HDL is at 45, that's a pretty good indication that plaque, or let me say it this way, the conditions are right for plaque and debris and gunk and calcification and cholesterol to build up in your arteries. You don't want that. If your HDL was at 62, as my example, that would suggest strongly that you're in good working order, because usually when HDL is at 62, your body, your liver, whatever you want to say, does a so much better job at removing plaque from the arteries at a faster rate than what it's building up. I'm trying to say it keeps your arteries clean. Does that make sense? But in the group that did not take cinnamon, their HDL levels, they didn't do good. But the ones that took cinnamon, their HDL levels went up about 6 or 7 points. I'd have to look up the number. I'm looking at the graph. It looks like 6 or 7 to me. Folks, that's a home run. And cinnamon is relatively inexpensive compared to drugs. Do you ever think about pharmaceuticals and drugs like I do? I ask myself the question, is this pharmaceutical drug, is it actually doing something to address the root cause of the problem? And I'll start doing research on a particular drug, and after a while I'll say, no, it's not doing anything to address the root cause of the problem. What are the side effects of cinnamon? Have you ever heard of somebody taking a capsule of cinnamon and being rushed to the ER from anaphylactic shock? I mean, I haven't, but I'm sure it's happened. All I'm saying is, it's rare. I don't even know if I've ever heard of somebody. Now, I'm all for reading studies where they might have an anecdotal report from a physician that a patient had a bad reaction to cinnamon. And there's a lot of moving parts to that, but that ain't good. But by and large, I've never heard of it. I mean, do you think of cinnamon as being bad? Anyway, here's the conclusion. In this 16-week study, we show significant decreases in measures of glycemia. That means glucose went down. all the people lost weight that took cinnamon. They did it by measuring waist circumference. And so it looks like the circumference of their waist decreased by 5%. Would you rather it increase by 5%? Okay, so that's a home run. Abdominal obesity went down. Their lipids, they returned to normal, or they began to normalize. I should have said that. Blood pressure went down in a major way. So people that have metabolic syndrome and diabetes, they're saying this is amazing. A single nutrient intervention, which I would say a single spice intervention. Anyway, if you want to join me on the radio this morning, there's a phone line officially open. I will take your phone call. I've had some people try to call in, but now's your chance. 903-589-8507. That's 903-589-8507. You know, if you wanted to, you could put all of this to the test. You really could. Put it to the test. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Yes, my husband has neuropathy, and he's been putting castor oil and Vic Salve on his feet, and that helps. But he's wanting to know if there's anything more. When he gets in the bed at night, his feet tingle, and it hinders him from sleeping. So is there anything else besides castor oil and Vic Salve?
Yeah, the number one solution is trying to create the right circumstances for him to start growing brand new nerves and brand new arteries and brand new veins. That's really the solution. So let me tell you how to do that. If you were to go online, I'm just going to say Amazon.com just because everybody knows where it is. But if you typed in foot massage ball, they have a bunch of manufacturers, but let me give you just a little bit of a foundation. The highest, greatest number of tiny nerve sensory fibers in the human body are found in one location. That's the bottom of your foot. And so his problem is, currently, these tiny nerves are crying out in pain because he's not able to get enough oxygen, or if you want to say blood flow, to him. And that means he's starving for nutrients and oxygen. That's the problem. So if I wanted to rejuvenate my feet, I would spend about 10 minutes a day. So does he ever just sit on the couch or in a chair and rest at the end of the day?
Yes.
Okay. So if you had this foot exercise ball, it's got little bitty knobs on it. They're maybe a little bit bigger than a golf ball, but I love them, though. I've got two or three different kinds, and I have one that's relatively, you know, softer, but I've got one that's harder. I think I like the hardest one the best. But if you'll put the bottom of your foot and just roll your foot around on the floor on top of this ball, that's going to stimulate growing brand new nerve fibers. And that's part of the solution. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So just massage each foot for 10 minutes a day. Number two, if his knees and hips are in good enough working order, I would just try to hold a squat on the ground with your feet flat for about 5 minutes a day. That's going to greatly improve the strength of his feet and his ankles. So the mobility of his toes, his feet, his ankles, his knees, his hips, all that's going to improve. We're going to start working out all the stiffness. That's a good technique right there. One of my most favorite ones of all time, I was talking to a guy this week. I won't mention his name. I'll just say it began with the letter A, because I don't want him thinking I'm talking about him. But he took a voltmeter. And I think a voltmeter is what an electrician would use to measure, for example, voltage in a circuit or an outlet. But he switched it on to a setting called millivolts. And he said when he held the electrodes and he stood on concrete on his patio, the voltage meter went up significantly, meaning he's getting voltage in his body. Now, what I would say is, so if you just put your bare foot on concrete, that's grounding right there. You're going to be getting electricity from the electromagnetic field of the earth. It's going to start coursing through your body. But that means repairing his feet, getting him back in good repair. But if he walked barefoot all day long around the house, didn't put any socks or shoes on, socks destroy it, so do shoes. But if he would just start walking barefoot everywhere, and just be careful not to step on a pine cone or you know, a rattlesnake, something like that, and you'll be fine. But if you start walking barefoot, now we can start rejuvenating and regrowing nerve fibers and blood vessels and veins.
Okay.
Now, if you want to talk about different herbs that might be beneficial, there's one that I like. It's called French maritime bark. Sometimes they call it pycnogenol.
Wait, French maritime
bark? Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. And I think the compound... Okay, do you want me to try to spell it? Because I just wrote it out on a sheet of paper.
Sure.
Okay. P-Y-C-N-O-G-E-N-O-L. Pycnogenol. That's what you're looking for. Now, if you can't find the French maritime bark, then what you can find is you can find what's called grapeseed extract. Do you know where grapeseed extract comes from? You'll never guess.
No. Apples, I guess.
You got me on that one, didn't you? It comes from the seed of a grape. Who knows, though? Maybe they'll start doing research and they'll find it in the seeds of an apple. So, but these are things that help rejuvenate nerves in the body. Now,
okay.
Can I keep laying it out for you? If I had feet that were giving me the fits, I promise you I would eat fish a minimum of 5 times a week. And so the fish that are going to give him the biggest bang for the buck, they come from the ocean. Cod, halibut, flounder, salmon, any type of salmon that you can get. Sardines are the absolute greatest protein in the universe. There's nothing that's better than sardines. I can't talk everybody into consuming them, but they are the bomb when it comes to rejuvenating the feet. He's probably already put in his request for lunch today. It's probably going to be sautéed cabbage and onions with sardines and butter. Is that correct?
Correct.
I knew it. So he's going to have to spend as much as he can taking the shoes off if he wants to rejuvenate his feet and grow. See, his feet have to become stronger. There's probably the simplest exercise. Well, I'll just list them for you. There's toe curls. If you don't know what that is, go to YouTube and look it up. Then you have calf raises, heel raises. You can do all the... What he needs to do, his solution is making his feet strong. That's really where I should have started. The solution to burning feet and tingling that drive you crazy is foot strength. Make the feet and the toes strong, and that'll go away. I can almost guarantee it.
Okay, we'll do it.
All right, good deal. I hope that works out great.
Appreciate you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, there's a phone line officially open. It's 903-589-8507 if you would like to call and you have a question or you want to make a comment. But that's what I would rather focus on doing. How do we actually address the root cause of the problem? Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Thank you for your phone call.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to ask you, I've got a little grandson who is 7 months old, and he has had over the summer, 3 or 4 ear infections and colds just during the summer, and they've already put tubes in his ears,
mm-hmm.
and to help, you know, help him to be better. And I was just wondering if there's anything that we can do to help him.
Yeah, he's allergic to milk.
Really?
Yeah, and that's just beating his immune system down. His body can't handle milk from a cow.
Okay.
Now, if he's exclusively breastfed, then I would switch my stance and say his mother is either consuming cheese or, you know, milk or ice cream, and it's coming through the breast milk that way. So
yeah, he is being breastfed.
Well, then it's the mother. I don't mean that in a bad way. That sounded horrible, didn't it?
I know.
What I meant to say was I want the mother to prayerfully consider that there's something that she's eating and it's passing through her breast milk into him, and his poor little immune system just don't like it. And so it's a burden to him. You know how Jesus said he wanted to come to give us rest from our burdens? I like that one. Well, I want to give this beautiful 7-month-old grandson of yours, I want to give him rest. But most likely, if he is exclusively breastfed, I'm willing to bet that his mother is consuming either cheese from a cow, or she's using milk, or eating ice cream. I'm just kind of giving you examples. Or maybe she's eating other things that are not in her best interest. People to me are very interesting. Sometimes I'll ask the question, are you eating anything that's counterproductive to your health? And I'll just let them answer it. And sometimes they'll say, no, I'm perfect. And I'm going, well, what about the bowl of Bluebell ice cream every night? Do you think that's helping you? Anyway, but that would be my guess.
Well, also, after the breastfeeding stops, is there an alternative to, that he should?
Yeah, they have a goat milk toddler formula. So if you went to Amazon.com, this is just my example because it just comes up so fast, and typed in infant formula goat milk or goat infant formula. And so they've got, 20 different manufacturers. And what they're doing is they're trying to give you something that can be mixed up very easy. So, like, if you were sitting in, church service tomorrow morning, you really wouldn't have to bring a goat with you to milk it in front of the congregation. You just have goat formula in a bottle. Sorry, I'm laying it on kind of thick, aren't I?
Well, this is very helpful. I just told her that I was going to call because I knew you could give us some help.
Okay, can I be gross for just a second?
Oh, sure.
When you have a little, what's a little child's name? What's his first name?
His name is Atlas.
Are you kidding me? Atlas.
I'm not.
Do you know what you know what the issue is? He's got the weight of the world on his shoulders. I can see him right now. There's Atlas with the world on. Haven't you seen that picture before?
Yes, I know.
Well, maybe when he was born, it's his job to relieve the burdens of his mom and dad and give him rest. Okay, so the problem with dairy in some people, I'm not trying to say it's a problem for everyone, but it creates so much mucus. And when I say mucus, you literally can clog up the ears so easily if you have a dairy allergy. It can be thick gunk. But what we want to do is we want to start clearing all that stuff out. And so the simplest technique is just avoiding dairy to see if all that clears up and he has ears that drain properly and his eustachian tubes aren't clogged up. And there's a bunch of other techniques about, what do you do? Do you burp the child after you feed him? I don't know, but there's a lot of things that you can look at. But that's what I would tackle number one, to see if we can help the little kiddo. The other recommendation that I would tell you, if there was one form of natural medicine that she needs to look into that would be great for the child, it's homeopathic medicine. And she can, right now, she could order a small infant's homeopathic kit, and they will definitely have remedies for ear infections in there. I believe I talked to a woman yesterday about one particular remedy called Nux Vomica, because Nux Vomica is so good at helping to detoxify toxins from a child's body. So I would look into a homeopathic kit for ear infections or for the immune system. Sometimes that's what I'll do, though, is I'll use Nux Vomica as a remedy when I'm trying to detoxify or neutralize the side effects of dairy.
Okay. May I ask one more question?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. I have another grandson who's 10, and he has what they call a sensitivity disorder, and he's been through therapy and everything to help him to want to or to be able to eat healthier foods. And he still struggles with it some. He's beginning to eat more healthy things.
Well, what does he want? What does he want to eat every day?
He for years it was like chips and milkshakes. I mean, his mom works really hard to get healthy foods.
Part of that is not all their fault. Part of it is the food industry. It's like they make food that's the equivalent of crack cocaine, so they can get kids addicted to it because they put all these chemicals like MSG, all these food dyes and other chemicals for one purpose. I want your babies addicted to this poison so they'll make me money. I hate to say that, but I believe that's true.
I agree.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. So,
no, that's
so he's
okay.
He's got a sensitive
palate.
I totally
agree.
Well, I can tell you what one of the solutions would be. I'm not going to say you're going to like it, but we have to change the gut microbiome. Some of this issue, and this is just my opinion. I don't really know anything about him other than what you're telling me, but I'm just speculating. Most likely, if I were guessing, I would say he's got too many toxic microbes or bacteria or yeast or fungus living in his gut. Is it okay if I say that?
Yes.
And so what they're doing is they're calling the shots. Anytime they want something like chips and sugar, they're telling him to crave those things. I know that sounds nuts. It makes it sound like I'm talking about a 10-year-old boy that's like a marionette or a puppet on a string, and the puppet master is, you know, controlling the movements of the child. But those bacteria, they release compounds that literally make the child crave these very things. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right, let me give you two solutions to it.
Okay.
What we have to do is we got no choice here. We've got to get rid of all the toxic germs that are living in the boy and releasing all this metabolic waste that neurologically is calling the shots, that's making the decisions for him. You're probably thinking I'm making this up, but go read it yourself. There's so much research. It's unbelievable. And so, yeah, and they know, for example, kids that have autism, all those bacteria in their gut, that's where the second brain of the body is. They're just totally screwing up everything in the child's neurology. So, do you know what sauerkraut is?
Yes.
There's a brand that I think I really like for kids. It's called Wild Brine. But they have one in particular that's called Caraway Apple Cabbage Sauerkraut. Let's give them a forkful today. And then
the problem is getting something down him.
Well, don't you think that I know that? It's like brutal. And then the other thing is chlorella.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not going to say what I'm thinking right now, but you and I are thinking the same thing about this whole issue, because that's the definition of madness or insanity. If you continue letting the child dictate he's only going to eat nacho cheese Doritos, Kraft macaroni and cheese, Dr. Peppers, don't you think I've heard this story like about a million times? Of course I have.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yes.
Do we let the child keep going down the road to disaster, or we do something that's in the child's best interest? And so, you know what's in the child's best interest? A fork full of sauerkraut every day. What else is in the child's best interest? That's called chlorella. You want to start weeding out all that toxic garbage from his gut so he can think clearly?
Right.
What I wish is, I wish he would say, why didn't y'all save me sooner? But yeah, a 10-year-old boy, don't do that. They do when they're 35.
Right. I just ordered a supplement for myself and for my daughter as well, mm-hmm. that contains, like it's like sauerkraut. It's called kimchi.
There you go. I'll take it.
Okay. Would that be helpful?
Yes, ma'am. It really would. Well? I mean, at some point, here's the main issue that we got to have. If you have enough toxic bacteria living in the body, all they're going to do is they're going to eat all the sugar and the starches and the junk that you're putting into your body, and they're going to give off a type of metabolic waste. The problem with the waste that they excrete, I know I've said this before, this is horrible. Those toxic bacteria, all they do is go tee-tee and poo-poo inside of his body. And it goes straight to the brain. It's just horrible what it does to him. So the kimchi supplement, I approve. Chlorella, I approve. Fish oil, I approve. But okay, like if you told me, Dr. Morgan, I want more so than anything else to regain my health, then I'm going to turn to you and say, well, at some point, you're going to have to give up the 12 Mountain Dews a day and the Twinkies and the donuts and the chips. You can't say you want to be well and then you're like destroying yourself by drinking a case of beer a day. Does that make sense?
Right.
So we got to have a starting point, but mom and dad are really at the top of the totem pole because what mom says, see, I just don't get this. I would never think in a million years of just sitting there and arguing with my mother on what I'm going to have for supper. I wasn't given that option growing up. If she had okra and squash and cucumbers, do you know what my dessert was growing up? My mother would lay out lettuce on a plate and she would cut a pear in half. And then put a scoop of mayonnaise on top of it, and then shredded cheese. That was my dessert. Now, is that old school dessert or what?
Yeah, really.
A pear with lettuce and cheese.
Yes. And I have worried about his gut because he stayed sick so much last year that he missed.
Well, where do you think the immune system is in the human body?
Yeah.
Like 90% of the immune system is found in the gut. So all this is very, very serious. So either this child is going to have a great life where he can do incredible accomplishments. I am certain that God has given this little boy great skills and an aptitude and a personality for service and doing great things to make the world a better place. But nobody reaches their full potential if all they do is make choices that cause them to become poisoned and weak. It's almost like he's become, okay, can I be blunt? He's a slave to what he's eating. It controls him. He doesn't control it. He's a slave. I don't want him to be a slave the rest of his life and be in bondage to this toxic producing junk.
Yes. Amen. I've worried about him for a very long time.
The other day, I could tell you all day long about endless failures that I have. But I don't worry about that stuff, because failures are part of life, right? But I tried to tell a woman the other day that drinking diet soft drinks is one of the most toxic things for the bacteria in the gut. Just look up the articles. You take something that's sweetened with sucralose and aspartame, you're going to totally screw up your gut, and all you're going to have is toxic germs making you sick. And I failed at that. Just like I told you the story about the woman at Walmart. She was pouring Pepsi into the baby bottle to give it to like a one-year-old. And I told her, I said, ma'am, you know that's bad. And she said something to me that's not very radio Christian friendly. But anyway, I brought it on myself. But you know what? I'm going to do the best I can to help the world become a better place. We need to save this kid. I mean, the time he's 10. How sick does he have to get? How much money does mom and dad have to spend before we start to turn this around?
Right.
You're like the greatest grandmother of all time. What's your grandmother name?
Meemaw.
Meemaw? I love it. That's great. So you are the best Meemaw in all of East Texas because you love these kids and you're going to do what's in their best interest, right?
Yeah, well, I hoped I could make a difference. I'm homeschooling him right now.
Oh, you're like a fabulous woman. Way to go. That's because you love him. Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you think when Jacob fed his boys, you know, like Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Joseph, do you think he gave them the option of eating Doritos and chips?
No. And this child got sick. Just 2 weeks ago, and they finally figured out from someone else sharing some information that he had been eating those Takis. He was sick for 2 days. And, I mean, she even carried him and got a sonogram on his stomach. It was so bad.
Well, it's okay with...
That's all it was.
Yeah, it's okay with me if they spend every penny they make on sonograms. They can do that. It's their choice. What is the kid good at?
What is he good at?
Yeah. What does he like to do?
He just raised a lamb for the fair.
Oh, and, my goodness. This story just keeps getting better and better and better. Oh, my goodness. If I had one kid that could be great, it's going to be him because he loves to be outdoors and he loves animals.
He does.
Man,
he
I'm so happy after hearing this.
Yes, he's very active outdoors when he's feeling well.
Well, could I ask you a personal question? Do you think he would be upset if we just fed his, did you say a lamb?
Yes.
Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to skip giving the lamb what it normally eats. We're just going to give the lamb talkies. What's gonna happen to the lamb? How's he gonna feel when his lamb becomes very sick?
Yeah, right.
Okay, that's what's happening to the boy. You know what the nuclear option is? Just don't buy anymore. Somebody's
right.
buying
oh,
talkies.
Yeah.
We gotta stop buying talkies.
That's gone. You know, they once they figured that out, I mean
that's my metaphor or analogy for all the junk. I don't really want to be in the business of having to list Doritos. He needs no more processed food. If he wants to live and be a free man that uses his gifts, he's going to have to break free from the slavery of Takis and Doritos and Kraft macaroni and cheese and Cokes.
I know. It's been a battle to find, something that...
Well, is his mother and father, are they on board with this?
Yes.
Okay.
They've really worked hard.
Well, then
they've
Then there's your answer right there. Oh, beautiful.
They've really done everything they...
You know, if you had a child that
feel
if
like
you...
they know to do.
Right. If you had a child that the mom and dad read to them every night and they pray with them, you're talking about the greatest example of a human being that walks the earth. That's beautiful. I love that. Train up a child, right?
Right. They're really doing a great job with him. I just feel like they've kind of been a little at their wits' end about the food, but of course they did get him in therapy, and the doctor there shared with him, this has got to change.
What has got to change?
His intake of what he's eating.
Well, but that's easy to fix. The parents just cold turkey, don't buy any more of it starting today. No more fast food. Does the mom like to cook?
Yes, they both do. Uh-huh.
Excellent. Well, if you wanted to rejuvenate a brain really fast and change the body, fish is the answer. Do you think he would eat cod?
Yes, I think
okay.
so.
There we go.
He likes.
No more chicken nuggets full of chemicals.
Well, and they were just thrilled when he started eating chicken nuggets because he wasn't eating any kind of protein for a long time.
Well, those are all gut issues right there. He's got too many toxic germs. And so I've given you like an overview on how to do that, but I'm really rooting for you, and you're like a great meemaw.
Well, thank you so much, and
you're
this
welcome.
Has been very helpful.
Okay, good deal. I can't wait to hear how it turns out.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
All righty. Bye-bye. Maybe he's supposed to be, maybe this kid's supposed to grow up and be the governor of Texas or something like that. Or, I tell you what, if he just grows up to be a good man that honors God, he's going to be a great, great man. Isn't that amazing? Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Dr. Morgan, yes, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Quick question. I was listening to your last conversation. Is there any place for the vaccines causing any of that kid's problems?
Oh, of course. But right now it's going to be an overwhelming conversation because if you can't stop the purchase of the Takis and the junk food, I don't know how you can create a window to undo the vaccine damage or to detoxify from that. But the gut's a good way. So the chlorella, what I told her, she never asked me about that. I tried to say it 3 different times, and there was no follow-up. So all I can do is tell. But that's all right, though. When you hear something for the very first time, But yeah, you're right, and you're making a most excellent point. But right now, have you ever heard the phrase, you got to play the hand you're dealt?
Yeah, too many times. Yeah.
Well, actually, we'll use me as example. Too many times in my life, I've no choice. I've got to play the hand I'm dealt. I didn't ask for it. Something breaks, it's catastrophic, you got to fix it, right?
That's a sign of maturity. Yep.
Well, so, yeah, I agree with what you're saying, but as we start, like, trying to unpack all these issues, damage control would be stop giving the kid talkies. Would you agree with that?
I don't even know what that is, but sure.
I don't either. I've seen them in bags. I've never tried one. I don't plan on it either. I don't want to have to spend $750 on a sonogram. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm glad she called you, though.
Yeah, me too. I thought that was great. And the fact that she said that she's homeschooling, that means she is totally devoted to raising up a child and giving him a chance to excel in this world. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And thanks for what you do, too.
Oh, I appreciate you a whole bunch also. I like your great comments. But, yeah, vaccines could be an issue, but maybe they should consider, you know, not doing any more damage. I don't know. So.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, and you're right about him being a victim nowadays.
Well, everybody says they're a victim, don't they?
Okay. Healthy victim and a real victim.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. So if you tell a person, talkies are destroying the health of the child's brain, they're messing up the gut. Okay, so how do you respond to that? You say, now that I know that, I'll stop it. That's not a victim, is it? But if they respond and say, but we're doing the best we can, there's a victim right there.
Just push the can down the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That doesn't work so well, does it?
No. I've tried it a few times, too.
Can you think of anything that we're doing as a nation on the national level where we're kicking the can down the road? Would it be called the debt?
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, jeez. Man. I don't even know what it is right now. Is it $34 trillion or $38 trillion? I don't even know.
Yeah, it's a number we can't understand.
No, but sir.
That's the only question I had.
All right. Well, thank you very much for bringing up the idea of vaccines maybe causing the problem. I appreciate you very much, buddy.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Morgan.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye. All righty, if you want to join me on the radio, I think you have about 1 minute. If you can ask a question or make a statement in 1 minute, I can put you on. If not, we'll just kind of start to close down the program. So much of what a doctor is really supposed to do is they're supposed to remove any obstacle to healing. So even though I didn't bring this up, I've got to believe the kid's dehydrated. Now, I could be wrong. They could call back and say, no, he likes to drink herbal tea all day long, and he loves it when I make cucumber water, and he likes it if I squeeze lemon or lime into the water that he drinks. And, you know, that could be, but I think that so many people, they're chronically dehydrated. But I can tell you this, when the brain is dehydrated, you tend to crave all the wrong things. Hydrating your brain and your body is one of the very best absolute ways that you can at least have the potential to make good decisions. So if a person's drinking like a Diet Coke all day long or a Diet Dr. Pepper or a Diet Pepsi and they think that they're hydrating their body, they are not. It's the same way if somebody drinks coffee all day long. They are so dehydrated. Everything could go so much better. I'm sure you do too. I have a high value for feeling good. I mean, don't you want your mind to be relatively clear? Yeah. It's fun to be able to read and to learn and to study and to have great relationships and to go to church. But if your mind can't focus and concentrate and you can't make good decisions, oh, that's just not a good place to be in. So maybe I could leave you with that. Do everything that you know how to do. And if you don't know how to do it, just read it and study on the topic. Hydrate your body if you want to have excellent health.